Okay, this is November 20th, Liz interviewing Dorothy. And instead of reading the whole release statement into the tape, Dorothy's just going to make a statement.
Insofar as I'm concerned, the release form that we talked about at the very first interview is still applicable at present date and present tape.
Great. Okay, you know, one thing we didn't talk about at all yet is how you would have felt about having children. Was it something you wanted and was sorry you could never have? Or how did you feel about that? But before we get in that, let me test this.
Okay. Well, people that know me very well always said I should have had a dozen because I like children.
Uh-huh.
And I have done work with teenagers and 20, 23, 24 years old in the AA program, and also, although I've never been addicted to drugs, I worked with them on the drug basis. As I said to you, Esther's daughter Sue and I were very close. She would call me at work when she was upset. She would tell me all of her heartaches and with her boyfriends. In fact, one day when she broke up, and she said, "Nobody will ever love me again." And I said, "You'll fall in and out of love 17 times before you get married." And we talked at great length that night, she and I. This is why I'm sort of, I could give you 15 other examples, but this is why I say she always says that I'm her adoptive mother. We are very, very close, but it is a strictly straight relationship, absolutely nothing lesbian or homosexual connected with it. It is just she's a kid that I liked, I felt sorry for. I did things for her. In fact, I mailed money yesterday for their Christmas presents. Because the Salvation Army, a man, wife, and they have a little two-year-old girl, gets exactly $5,000 a year in salary, which doesn't leave much for clothing or food, the price it is, etc. So I always send them a gift for Christmas, money-wise, for each of them, because they know what they need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what about you personally? When you were younger, did you say, "I wish I wasn't gay so I could have kids," or did you never really, your own personal feelings, or did you think if the chance had come along you would have had kids, or how did you think about it?
Well, I was married, as I told you.
Right.
And there are times I wished I had had children, and there are times that I was glad I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, because of my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless a woman is in a very solid, substantial relationship, and I have known cases where a couple has raised a boy, and mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, he turned out to be a priest, a couple in Grand Island. That is rare, and I don't think it's fair to the child, because I think any child for proper development should have both a mother and a father.
You think so? You don't think two women could do as good a job?
Well, they don't have the masculine influence of playing baseball, generally, and football, and going to the Y together and swimming. They don't have the masculine, recreation. I think there is a like, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How many lesbian mothers have you known? Quite a few?
No.
Or actually very few?
Very few.
You know, I'm not...
Oh, excuse me. I know one right now that's studying for her doctorate in counseling, and she has a boy of 18, a boy of 16, and a girl of 12. And she is separated, has been separated for some time, I gather. And she not only is working on her doctorate, but raising a family, but carrying on a relationship that just began, one country friend began, when this group of country friends began,
mm-hmm.
about 4 or 5 months ago, and apparently everybody gets along. But these children are an older age.
Uh-huh. So you haven't known them any. Now, Esther was a lesbian, right? Were you two in a relationship
mm-hmm.
for a while?
Yes.
How did you feel about that Esther had a daughter?
Well, nothing, because Rose had a son, and Rose's son and I were very, very good friends. And we did a lot of things together and had fun together.
Rose is the woman you went with before you went with Seal, is that correct?
She's the one I had 1, 2, 3 on a string.
Right, right.
Who still is calling me and wants to get back together again, and I can't stand her.
Well, did you think Rose was a good mother?
Yes. She was Jewish and an extremely good mother. And the reason I bring up the Jewish, now this is not from a viewpoint of bigotry, but Jewish mothers have a quality that I think some other mothers don't have, insofar as their children's health is concerned, insofar as their education is concerned, insofar as the amount of sleep the child gets at night. they are much more rigid in their upbringing. And she was bringing up alone because she had been separated from her husband, I guess, when Larry was a year or two old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they have a steadfastness of purpose that you don't always find in a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant when it comes to their child. To this day, she's still telling Larry what to do, and he's married and has a family.
So you felt, and how did she combine her being a lesbian and being a mother? Like, did she bring her lovers home?
Yes.
She did, but she was very cool about
it. Yes. And as I said, Larry and I got along very great.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have me over for dinner, and I'd wash the dishes, and Larry'd dry, and we'd have a picnic all the time we were doing it, because we'd get along very well, because I had always wished I had, times I wished I had had children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When Rose would have her lovers over, did they sleep in the house? But they did after he went to sleep. And what would happen if he got up before the lover left?
Nothing.
He would just see there were two
right.
women in bed?
Right.
And he wouldn't say anything?
No. Of course, now, I haven't seen Larry since he's grown up and married.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's like now. Apparently he's making quite a bit of money. Bought a house out in a very exclusive section of Amherst with an in-ground pool and so on, so apparently he's hard working.
Did he know his mother was a lesbian?
I don't know.
You don't know if he ever found out either.
I hadn't any idea. I think Rose would say no, but that wouldn't necessarily be the answer.
I know what you mean. Kids are smarter than people think.
That's right. That used to worry me.
Right, that's really true. Okay, now what about Esther? Now she, how old was her daughter when you met her?
First year of high school. And they had lived in Tonawanda, and Sue was heartbroken because she was leaving all of her friends in Tonawanda and going to Lafayette High School.
Mm-hmm.
But she made friends, and I tried to make up for it in a lot of ways that my mother and Esther and Sue and I would do things together until Sue got her feet well into future teachers, and she played the piano. She had quite a bit of talent musically, still has, and until she got into piano with the orchestra, and then got into a group of kids that went to the Salvation Army, and this is where she began being interested. But I think, or I sometimes, on one side, Esther, one point Esther will make a great big show of motherhood, and on the other, Marge and I could kick her in the fanny for some of the things. Like, she was bewailing to me about Sue needed an in-between coat. She had a winter coat and, you know, summer, but nothing for in-between.
Mm-hmm.
Well, had that been me, I'd have gone out because I certainly would know my daughter's size, buy her a coat and send it to her, or take it down when she went down. But instead, Esther went out and bought an 81 Thunderbird. Some ways she's very good to the kids, and other ways she isn't.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, now I'm not bragging, I don't mean it, but this is only to illustrate. I didn't realize that Esther did have some money. And so the first 2 years that they lived up there, I used to give Sue $2 a week spending money because I didn't think any youngster should go to high school and not have two pennies to rub together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was fair.
But then it turned out Esther had more money than you thought she did.
Mm-hmm.
How did she have that money?
Well, she earned a good pile. She worked in production at Trico, and they get good pay, piecework pay. I knew what they got in pay, but she said she had this and this and this debt, which I sometimes, to this day, she's still crying poor mouth, and yet she goes out and buys an 81 Thunderbird 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't buy an 81 Thunderbird unless you get, and furthermore, I know that the amount of money she's earning per hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she can't have been in debt this many years,
mm-hmm.
from 68 to now.
Okay, when Esther was married and then became a lesbian, or what was her story?
Well, she said she was always a lesbian. She lived in Jamestown, and she claimed she got pressured into getting married by her family, that she was a lesbian and used to come up to Buffalo to the clubs. Before she even got married, she'd drive from Jamestown to Buffalo on a Saturday night to go to the different carols and different spots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, how old is Esther?
54.
So she got pressured into marriage and had a daughter and then left her husband?
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's see, her daughter was a first year of high school. Does her daughter know that you two were, that her mother was a lesbian?
Well, having gone through Buffalo State and taking psychology and all of the rest of the Salvation Army experiences, I don't doubt that she knows. But to this point, well, for example, last May, Mary and I went down there for the weekend and had a very delightful time. So I don't know whether she knows or whether she knows about homosexualism and just doesn't correlate it with the two of us. I don't know.
Hmm. But you've never discussed it. No. And to your knowledge, Esther never discussed it.
No.
And did you think Esther was a good mother in general? That the fact that she was a lesbian was irrelevant?
No.
You didn't think she was a good mother?
No, because of her own telling, there were times when she was playing the horses that heavily that they practically didn't have food to eat at one point when they lived in Hines Street in Tonawanda. Because she was betting everything she had on the horses. You know, if you're not a good mother, when your child doesn't get the right food.
Mm. Mm. So you're thinking that some lesbians are good mothers and some aren't.
Right.
And it
depends on the individual.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's see. Another area of questions they didn't ask you is when you first became a lesbian way back in 36 and then in the 40s and the 50s, what kind of future did you imagine? What kind of old age did you imagine for yourself?
Well, I'd rather imagine that Harriet and I'd be together the rest of our lives. Like I was heartbroken when she started playing around.
Uh-huh.
And then I started
playing around.
You know, figured she could do it, I could do it too, of course, to that effect. Because I realized it was Harriet was a lesbian, but wanted the sanctuary of marriage and the caring of marriage. And all the time she was married to Bob used to weep and wail to me about sex, and because Bob was a perfectly normal male with perfectly normal drives. And I said, I'd always say, Harry, if you knew he was a man when he got married, you know that's part of marriage. So put up with it.
Mm-hmm. So you, when you first came, he said you and Harriet would be together forever. Do you know many couples that were together forever?
I know one couple that have been together at least 25 years, and at one point, the one girl used to go with somebody else quite regularly. And the other gal, because they owned the house, just stayed put, would go to parties, would never go with anybody else. She'd go to a party, dance, and have a good time. Never let on anything was gone, that was wrong. And eventually, the other girl broke up and came back, and the two of them are growing old gracefully together. One is 72 and one is 66.
Do they live in Buffalo?
Suburb.
72 and 66.
Mm-hmm.
Think there's a possibility we could ever get an interview with them?
I doubt it.
You doubt it? Are they very private?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they have professional jobs that they're protecting, or it's just
no,
their life?
No, they're both retired now.
They're both
but
retired.
They just would not, this would not be their cup of tea.
Mm. 72 and 66, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Were they each other's first relationship?
No.
What do you think makes it that some people are together that long and some people not?
Because I think homosexuals are by nature, it's a little unstable sometimes.
What do you mean by that?
They like to play around, which of course is true in a heterosexual relationship too. But I think it's more so in a homosexual. Some of the boys that have been together the longest, and I'm talking now two boys that are dead, and they had been together, what was it, 42 years. Roy and Andy started to go together when Roy was 17 and Andy was 23. And they worked on the policy that you can do anything you want with anybody else, provided you come home to Papa.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the happiest, best relationship that you would ever know through the years. In fact, Andy went through, he was at Braswell for two and a half years. And every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, Roy would faithfully go up and see him. And Andy got better. He licked the cancer bit. And then Roy had circulatory problems and lost a leg and then had a heart attack. In fact, had a couple of heart attacks. And the two of them were just as happy then as they were when I first knew them. I've known them all my life, you know, all my gay life. And I think that possibly gay relationships on a whole are a little less stable sometimes. Emotionally, whether it's emotional makeup or what, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. What do you say? Or what have you found in your research?
I don't know. We haven't really decided what we've found yet, so we're kind of interested in what different people have to think about it. Because, you know, obviously people don't get married in the church, so there's nothing to keep people together, you know, so it's hard
But people that get married in the church, look at the divorce rate, too.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the difference?
Right, so that's what I wondered what you thought. But you do think lesbians might be a little less stable than straight?
Well, yeah, there's not children to hold them together, there's not homes to hold them together, that sort of thing.
Well, what about after you realized that you and Harriet weren't going to be together for the rest of your life, how did you look towards your old age in the second?
I didn't think about old age at that point.
You didn't think about it? You just lived from day to day?
Remember, that was wartime and everything was pretty hectic.
Well, then by the time you got into the 50s, what were you thinking about your plans for your old age? And
I didn't think about it very much. I just started thinking about that until about the last 5 or 8 years.
And what do you think about it now?
I'm getting old.
Okay, that sounds fair. Do you remember ever talking to people or your friends about what would happen to you all as you grew older and making bonds of taking care of one another or anything like that?
Well, yeah, there was a time, some years back, that a bunch of us decided we should set up an old folks home out at what is an old folks home now, out at the old Lakeshore Road and Beach Road. There was this huge hotel, and you're kidding about it, we should start a gay retirement home. But nothing ever came, it was just, you know, talk.
Joking about it. Were those your friends that you were joking with? Why do you think nothing ever came of it?
Because nobody thought seriously enough about it to want to invest that kind of money to set up that kind of an arrangement.
How long ago was this? In the 60s that people were talking about this?
Let me see. No, closer in the 70, between 72 and 75.
72 and 75. So there already was a women's movement. There were people.
Frankly, I wish there were a gay retirement home.
Right, right.
I probably would join it. But gay people feel so much more intensely because I think of the insecurity of being gay than ordinary people. Whereas straight people might shrug their shoulders and say, oh, let it go. Some gay people can get pretty aggressive, merely because of their own insecurity.
Like what, for instance?
I'm trying to think of an example. Is that rain? Stay there. Where's that go? Oh, here, I got it. Yeah, I see.
Oh, you haven't done these
in a while. It's just cleaning, but I don't know where this is. There's supposed to be a nail here, and there isn't.
These are supposed to work by suction. I don't know why
it's not working. I just wanted to do both of them.
I guess
must have just been waiting, I'm sorry.
Oh, and we didn't turn the tape off. So all that's on the tape. Oh, well.
Slight interruption tape. Right. Please forgive.
I was asking you, what would be an example of emotional intensity that gays feel? Remember that, what you said?
Yeah, but I can't remember any specific incident at this point. This is more or less over a lifetime, that I just feel that gay people react sometimes more aggressively. And I'm talking now the bar scene and the fights, the occasional fight that I saw. I didn't see that many actual fisticuffs. I only saw a couple, but I'm talking the verbal ones. Haven't you thought or?
That's something I never thought about really, but I think it's interesting, the idea of emotional intensity and
because of emotional insecurity.
And why do you think they're insecure? Because
relationship is here, it ain't gone tomorrow. I'm sure in your other interviews you have noticed the short time spans, not lifetime.
Actually, yours is some of the longest that we have. Some of the longest relationships. So. Okay, now this is changing this subject a little bit. But you know what we would be interested in is if you could think whether the ways that people made love and expressed sexuality changed over the years. If you could think just a minute, like you think that it was the same?
Yeah. Pretty much the same.
For you, in all your
rooms. I think it's freer in this day and age than it used to be.
Could you talk about that? What does that mean?
I don't think there are as many mental, emotional, or mental hang-ups in the sexual part of relationships today as people tell me, as there were years back. Now, maybe it's only because I was not that close to people that we discussed sexuality to that degree. This might be the fact that I just don't know.
So you don't remember discussing sexuality at all until the 60s and the 70s, or until the 70s?
Well, the Butch crowd at Carol's one time, the Butch night out bit, one gal whose nickname was George, who's now dead, she was telling me up in Anderson Place it was a daisy chain sort of thing, and that interested me not at all. Because to me, group sex in that sort of a connotation would be animal-like in nature, and to me it would be extremely undignified and reducing me to the level of an animal, and I don't think I'm an animal. To me, sex is something between two people. It's private very close, very intimate, not animal level in mass.
What's Anderson Place?
Street in Buffalo.
And there was a house there, and people
that was just, I never went, so I couldn't tell you any more than I'm telling that George told me. But there was this house where they used to have these daisy chain parties. You've heard of a daisy chain. Well, that interested me not at all.
Was it all women?
Yeah, at that time.
Was this in the 50s or the 40s?
Mid-40s going into 50s.
Mid-40s going into 50s. Were they the crowd that went to Winters? The crowd that was in the Daisy Chain group? It wasn't
Winters and Carol's and Ralph Martin's. The Ralph Martin group more than Carol's. Carol, I don't think, was in existence too much at that point. Or if it was, I didn't know about it.
So it would be the Ralph Martin's crowd and the Winters crowd. There was no distinction.
I never went to Winters, so I didn't know too much about it.
Okay. All right. That's interesting that how did they describe what people wanted when they went to the Daisy Chain? Was it kind of like a far-out group, or was it just a common everyday occurrence?
I don't know. I never got into it that far because I was not interested. I wasn't interested in group sex. But I'm not that kind of a person. Not that I have anything against sex. I had no hang up with sex. In fact, I think sex is wonderful. But not with 16 people.
So for you anyway, the way you made love with somebody did not really change much. As you think back to Harriet and then think of Seal and then think of Esther, that the ways you made love was pretty much the same. And what was...
Some oral sex, some friction type.
Some oral, some friction, but which predominated?
Equal.
Equal.
Depends upon who I was with and what they liked and what I liked.
And when you say friction, is that friction of with fingers, or is it friction?
Can be that, or it can be body contact.
Body contact.
Can be either and or both.
And there wasn't one form that was more popular in the 30s that you know of, or one that
not
you liked?
Not that I know of.
And you liked them all the same, all the time?
Yeah, it depends on the mood you're in. And who you were with.
Did you know of oral sex in the 30s?
Oh, yes.
You did know about it in the 30s. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Think carefully. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had been under the impression that oral sex didn't really become popular or common until the 50s.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say
no,
that?
No, not in my experience. No, I'm just one individual.
Right, well, we're interested in your experience. That's what we're
interested in. I'm just one individual.
Right, but that's what we'd like to know. Mm. So for you, so you think that we're wrong when our impression of what people are telling us is that it doesn't really become common until the 50s, because you yourself used it before the 50s?
I wouldn't say you were wrong. I would say it would depend on the individual.
Depend on the individual.
And depend on how large a sample you had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess there's one other area that I wanted to ask you a little bit more about. As I was thinking about the people that you were in relationships with, that it's very clear that sometimes you'd be in relationships with people who were more masculine mm-hmm. than you, and sometimes you'd be in relationships with people who were more feminine
right.
than you.
And I would respond to whichever relationship I was in.
Did you have a preference for which you liked
no.
better?
No, it depended upon the individual. No, I think by nature, because I built a house and wired it, and because I, like Sunday when Gladys's furnace went off and she has an attic furnace, I took down the trapdoor and crawled in and tried to light the pilot, but it wouldn't stay lit because it needed a thermocouple, which I didn't have. I mean, they're fair, that the average woman doesn't do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or like paint my own cars, which I used to, and I used to fix a lot of them myself because my uncle taught me how and that sort of thing. So I think that if any line of demarcation was, I have more masculine and feminine tendencies, but I also like to clean house and cook. I love to experiment in cooking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as I said, I pretty much respond to who I'm with. Now Harriet was very completely femme, little dainty, long fingernails and nail polish and hair just so, etc. So I said, well, that was the more masculine one of that group. With Esther, she is the more masculine. She's big and grunny, and with Ruth, the one gal that I went with during the war off and on, when I said with the lunch bucket and the mm-hmm. men's dungarees bit, which in those days, even then you didn't have men's dungarees, I was the more feminine. I guess I sort of float between. It depends on who I'm with and what their relationship is or what their feeling is. Not that I am knowingly sitting down and saying, okay, they get more masculine tendencies, therefore I'll be more feminine. Or they have more feminine tendencies, then therefore I'll be more masculine. This is sort of an unknown thing that you just respond to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
Does that sound funny?
No, I think it depends. I think I would be more like you. That I'm quite flexible.
Well, this is quite unconscious on my part.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this is how I respond to people.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on their outstanding traits compared to mine, and I give. I think I have, I like feminine things, and I can sew, and I have no objection to washing, and clothes, and I love to cook and experiment with cooking. I'm not very good at interior decoration because I can't visualize a thing until I see it, actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like taking care of the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think nothing is like the summer I painted the garage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did that ever cause any tension with you?
No.
Did you? It just would happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And you would never say to yourself, you know, am I crazy? Sometimes I'm more masculine, sometimes I'm more feminine.
No, because I know I react to the person I'm with.
But even, let's say, in that relationship with that Ruth, you would still be doing the same kind of things you used to do, like taking care mm-hmm. of the house and maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's just, mm-hmm. what would make you more feminine? Just the fact that she was more masculine?
And she would try to carry me in a silver platter, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She went like opening car doors, which I tried to get her out of. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the early 50s or the late 40s, girls just didn't open car doors for the girls. It used to embarrass me. I said, don't do that. There's a good deal of me that is conventional. Even today.
Like what?
Well, I can open my own car door. Now, if I'm with a man and he opens it, fine. I don't think anything about it. I just accept it.
But you don't like it from a woman?
No. Because it is customarily done. And yet, when it's my car, I have to unlock it. And so while you're unlocking, you just automatically open it too. And then that I can do whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're am I right that most of your long-term relationships were those in which you were the more masculine? Is that correct? Or is that not true of
no.
Seal?
No, Seal was more masculine.
She was more masculine.
Even with the spike heels.
Even with the spike.
She was definitely much more masculine.
And what made her more masculine?
The things she did, everything about it. I mean, she'd open the door, well, like we're going in somewhere, she'd always open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Always. She was one, as I said, would take down a wall and put it back out, which I didn't want to do that. Oh, I did once in my house upstairs.